Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
I'm honored to stand here today in the presence of God and all of you to speak to you today. I thank God for giving me this opportunity to speak to you from His Word. When we have both of our attendants present here today, I don't feel any worthy to take on this role, but I'm leaning on God's strength to lead me through this. I'd like to thank our Achan and our Sevika Sangam committee for giving me this privilege today. As you all know, we are observing the World Day of Prayer. So please bear with me as I give you some details on the World Day of Prayer. World Day of Prayer is a worldwide ecumenical movement of Christian women of many traditions, about 170 countries, who come together to observe a common day of prayer and action each year during the first week of March. Every year, a different country is focused, and they serve as the writer of the World Day of Prayer worship, interpreting the Bible in their own context and lifting up issues of mission, justice, and peace that are important to them. The focus is on women's leadership, and World Day of Prayer honors women's theological and liturgical work in developing the worship that is used every year. For this year, 2022, World Day of Prayer is brought to us by the women of England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, three countries that form part of the United Kingdom. Together with Scotland, they are the British Isles, situated in northwestern Europe. Although they have many things in common, they are a diverse people. Today, the country is a multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-faith society. England, Wales, and Northern Ireland are proud of the diversity and anxious to preserve the differences of language and culture. The World Day of Prayer motto is informed prayer, prayerful action. The theme for this year's World Day of Prayer is I know the plans I have for you, which is taken from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 through 14, specifically verse 11. It is based on the letter that the prophet Jeremiah wrote to the exiles in Babylon. The exiles were in a place of suffering and uncertainty, not knowing how to respond to the moment, away from their homeland and excluded from their culture, worship, and homes. This promise, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, was a sign of hope for all the people. This promise also gives the women of British Isles a seed of hope to ponder upon, where it needs to be planted and nourished by prayers of intercession and actions of love binding them around the world. There are many people who have settled in British Isles after having fled from their homeland and culture. Many feel excluded in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. In the land of prosperity, there are people who are poor. There are many refugee children, many living in poverty, women who are regularly missing a meal so that their children might not go hungry, living in fear because of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse from a partner, and living in loneliness and isolation even in the midst of crowded cities. Offerings collected during the services are granted by the World Day of Prayer National Committees to non-profit organizations that deal with the issues identified by the selected country. We also in our church have an offering that is being collected towards this cause. Let's bow down for a word of prayer. Dear loving Father, thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning you have given us. Thank you for bringing us all safely here to worship you and praise your holy name. Father, increase our knowledge today that we may know you better and more about the life that you want us to lead. Father, at this time, we uphold the country nice of England, and we especially pray for the women of this country. We pray for the women of the world. Lord, we know there are lots of women and children who are being affected in the war-torn countries of Ukraine. We pray for your protection and peace around them, Lord. We pray and we thank you for all the dear women whom you have placed in our daily lives. We pray for the women of our church. Lord, you have created us in a unique way and for a particular purpose. Help us to fulfill that purpose in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we seek your presence and guidance as we spend some time to ponder on your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, we are in the fourth Sunday into Lent, and all the past 3 weeks, we have been listening to messages that focused on Jesus' miracles that he performed during his public ministry on the earth before his crucifixion. So today's meditation, I'm going to be focusing on the gospel portion, which we heard being read in Malayalam by Achin. I would like you all to open up to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28, and I'll be reading it in English for you all. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So to get an insight about where this incident or what about the setting of this incident and where it's happening, we see that Jesus was with the Jewish people. He was teaching them and performing miracles and healing. And he was probably now trying to get away from the crowd. Jesus was trying to get away to some quiet place. But you know that the crowd always followed him. His disciples were with him. So he withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. This Tyre and Sidon were Canaanite cities, which was largely populated by the Gentiles. These Gentiles were people who worshipped false god, so their lives did not honor God. Now these Canaanites were considered as enemies of the Jews, and the Jews thought that the kingdom of God was only for them, and it did not have anything to do with these Canaanites or these Gentiles. There were no good relationship between the Jews and the Canaanites. And there was this woman, a Canaanite woman, who lived in this city, who had a demon-possessed daughter. To the Jews or the disciples who were with Jesus, this woman was a Canaanite, a foreigner, an outsider, not a worshipper of God. She was a Gentile. She had a demon-possessed daughter, and she was the mother who needed healing for her daughter. The fact that she was a woman and a Gentile, she had everything going against her. And we know that in those days, rabbis ignored women. But she took the risk and pressed through and met with Jesus. And we see the encounter between Jesus and this woman who was considered as an outsider. She had heard about the God of the Jews and approached him. She was able to immediately identify him. She cries out to the Lord. She says, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me." She addresses him as son of David. So we see she already knew him as the son of David. This Canaanite woman who was an unclean outsider, she demonstrated that she had a better grasp of Jesus and of Jesus' identity and faith that even the disciples did not have. And she was crying out for her daughter, just like any mother would do for her child. She says, "My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Her daughter was demon possessed. We do not know how her daughter was demon possessed. Or how she was in the spiritual condition. Maybe because her mother was a worshipper of false gods, maybe that's how the daughter became demon-possessed, because of who the mother worshipped. We do not know, we can only speculate. But she had an opportunity to meet with Jesus, and she pleads for her daughter. She knew where she could turn to. She says her daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. The mother is taking the pain of her child onto herself and pleading to Jesus. We also, as women and mothers, often do that for our children, don't we? Don't we also, as mothers, feel the pain when our children go through suffering? We feel their pain. That's how God created us, right? He's made a special bond between the mother and the child. There's a special kind of love there. We are happy when they are happy, and we are sad when they go through pain and suffering. So we see this woman taking upon herself the pain of her daughter, and pleading for her daughter. And we see in verse 23, it says, Jesus did not answer a word. He just kept quiet. He didn't say a word. This was how she was treated initially. She was met with silence. Now, no word from the Lord. We know God as a compassionate and loving God, but yet he is just silent to her plea for help. We would think that the silence from Jesus was kind of a discouragement for her. We also would get discouraged, right, when we have no answer for our prayers, when God is silent to our prayers, when we are crying out to him and he just stays silent. We even complain, just like Habakkuk's complaint in Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 2. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you with violence, but you do not save? So we also cry out, where are you, God, when we need you? Sometimes he doesn't answer our prayers in our timing. He doesn't respond when we go to him in prayer. We are met with silence. We doubt his compassion when he's silent and we get no answers for our prayers. Now look at the disciples' reaction when this woman made her presence known, not that she was noticed. The disciples were so irritated by this woman. They urged Jesus to send her away, to get rid of her. They thought Jesus was only for them and only for their needs, and not to worry about this woman and her needs, or that she was just irritating them, yes. And when the disciples asked him to send her away, Jesus answered this way, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. He says, I have only come for the Jews or the children of Israel. Jesus is less than eager to help this woman, explaining that his mission was only for the house of Israel. Now we see Jesus didn't just remain silent, but he spoke something. Although what he spoke was not so much in the woman's favor. Can you imagine the woman's reaction now? He said something, so maybe she had some hope, or maybe she didn't have any hope. We do not know. Now that he started talking, probably she had some little bit of a hope there that it might help. We would think this was kind of a stop sign for her. But did she lose hope? Did she give up? No, she did not. Instead, what was her response? She came and knelt before him and said, Lord, help me. She was now pleading in an act of worship, kneeling before the Lord, crying out to him to help her. Now oftentimes we see worshippers kneeling before God. I'm sure we have all seen signs and sights and pictures of people pleading on the roads and streets, kneeling before God, especially during our pandemic days. We have seen people worshipping on the roads and streets, just crying out to him, asking God to pleading for their country, for the people. And even today, in those war-torn countries, we see sights and pictures of people crying out to God by kneeling on the roads and streets. In the same way, we see this woman kneeling before Jesus, crying out to him in desperation. And Jesus replied to her this way. He said, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. What was he trying to say here? Basically, he was saying that he had come for the Jews, and the miraculous healing was not for her, but for the Jews. His job was to reach the lost sheep of Israel. So we see this woman is now met with another stop sign, or a bigger roadblock, or a wall even this time, right? She was even given the reference to a dog, because she was not a Jew, but a Gentile or an outsider. We can't imagine Jesus saying something like this, because we know that we have a loving and compassionate God. Why would he say something like this? It sounds kind of rude, isn't it? I think Jesus was testing her faith to see if she would leave him alone by now and go back disappointed that her endeavors amounted to nothing. But we see Jesus was sending a message to the crowd here about faith. She did not give up by now. She was not disappointed. She was determined. She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So we see she was more persistent, and she said she was not asking for the whole, but just a crumb. She was saying even the crumbs was not good enough for her, recognizing that even a crumb from Jesus was powerful enough to heal her demon boss's daughter. This was an indication of her faith. We can see the humility and the brokenness that she had in her. She was declaring his power, basically saying that he, Jesus, was a master, and even something small from him would be sufficient for her. Then we see Jesus responding to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." Jesus told her, "Your faith is great," and her daughter was healed at that very hour. Jesus finds faith in the most unlikely place. The Jews had this whole faith thing wrong. They thought they were the most rightful people to get everything that Jesus could offer, and the Gentiles didn't have it in them to receive anything from Jesus. But Jesus had an opportunity to truly show what his purpose was and who exactly he was. Although initially he says the bread is only for the few, but seeing this woman's faith, he was able to answer her. Don't we also have that similar kind of attitudes like the Jews? We think the bread or the blessing is only for the selected few, only for those who worship in certain ways, only for those who respond in certain ways, or only for those who dress in certain ways. And we think of outsiders as, and we think of others as outsiders, they're not good enough. Don't let other people's rejections or bad experiences with church or elsewhere stop you from approaching a loving God, because he's always there with open arms. We just need to reach out to him. God's promise in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, which is the theme for this year's World Day of Prayer, assured his people, even though destruction would come because of their disobedience and wickedness, the people would be restored. So there are times in our lives also we find ourselves in situations where we do not want to be, like the exiles in Babylon in Prophet Jeremiah's days, or the exiles in British Isles, or even the refugees of Ukraine, or like the Canaanite woman. We cannot see a way forward and long for God to intervene. We may go through bitter experiences at first, but God has his marvelous ways, and we'll be able to taste the sweetness coming out of the bitterness if we stay focused on God. He knows the plans he has for us, and we do not need to know them. We just need to trust him. We saw how the Canaanite woman was faced with bitterness in the beginning, and then how, because of her faith, she was able to experience the sweetness out of her bitterness. The promises of God, which were from the Old Testament times, are still true today to present-day life situations. If we stay in faith, even in difficult circumstances, we are going to see how God makes everything work together for our best, and how it was all part of his master plan. Some thoughts to ponder upon, or some takeaways that I'd like to give from this, is how is our faith? Do we give up easily when God is silent, when God does not answer our prayers in our timing? Has silence closed the door of faith? Or are we determined? Do we carry on even with every roadblock after roadblock? Are we persistent in our prayers even through the silence from God? Do we have the humility and the brokenness as portrayed by this woman? We receive salvation in Christ through repentance and faith. This means turning away from the sinful ways in repentance and turning to God in faith, trusting in Jesus. This gift of salvation is for all through the saving work of Jesus Christ. So during this Lent season, let us take this opportunity to grow closer to him and fix our eyes on Jesus. I'd like to conclude with a song. If you all know the song, you can sing along.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light.